The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
But I got hit by a jet ski when I was 30 years old and ended up in the emergency room, and the doctor walked in and said, "You've ruptured your liver. If less than 40% of it is ruptured, we'll life flight you out of here, we'll cut it out, it'll grow back. If it's more than 40%, you have 5 hours to live."
Wow. Oh my goodness.
So I laid there on the gurney for an hour waiting for results to find out, was I dying?
Ken Harrison describes a pivotal moment that led to a daring faith. Next.
I want to welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are here with a friend, and we're with a friend that was introduced to me because Dallas Cowboys, you know the name, it's more than just like cowboys on horses. This is a football team. We used to have a football team here in Dallas. You do remember?
We really did.
Who we used to win. And one of the guys who won was Chad Hennings, who was a military pilot and had to wait to get out of the military to come here. But then, you know, he got 3 Super Bowls. Well, he wanted me to meet a guy that he said, "You just need to know this guy." And so I ended up meeting the guy that ends up writing this book. I didn't know he was writing it then. I didn't know I'd write the foreword to it because I didn't know this guy. But I met him, and his name is Ken Harrison, and he wrote this book, A Daring Faith in a Cowardly World. Whew, that looks like we kind of been standing back when we instead of kind of... You remember when the Cowboys used to really step up? I'm sure hoping they're going to do it again, right?
Big time.
Will. Okay, I'm sure they will. Chad, we remember you. Well, Ken, you came in to meet with me, and we connected pretty quick. And one of the things that I was just being carried by was the importance of understanding that we are left here for the King's purpose, for the Father's purpose, and that we only find meaning and purpose in life when we lose our life for His kingdom purpose. And I could tell we connected. I feel like God brought us together. Has that been, what, about 2 years ago?
3 years.
Boy, does it fly by.
It just feels time flies.
I'm telling you. I mean, you know, here I'm old enough to be your dad, so you kind of adopted me as a second dad, and I appreciate that. But we are connected for His kingdom purpose. But you were writing this book. You've been asked to do a lot of things, to lead a lot of things, because you've been effective. You were a police officer. You were a very effective police officer. But you got fed up with the laws not being enforced in a state called California. That's happening all over the country, and people are getting sick of it now. I think we may be about to turn the tide. That's what you want to happen. You want men to step up. But you had some experiences that began to change your life, and that is part of the book. Very, very important. I want you just to tell us what led you to write the book, what God is showing you right now, what you would like our viewers and those who read the book to hear that you think is important.
Well, you know, you were talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So I'll just start off by saying, you know why they won't let Oklahoma have a professional football team? Because Dallas would get jealous. Just saying.
Oh, my.
Hey, we're buddies.
Yeah, we're buddies. And James, you know, I've told you you're my spiritual father, and that book is vastly better because I know you. And a lot of the terms as you wrote the foreword, you saw, well, I recognize, you know, losing our lives in God's kingdom purpose, those all came from James Robinson. But what happened to me was after the Los Angeles Police Department, you know, I'd faced death many times, but always in a hail of gunfire and all that stuff, and so adrenaline. But I got hit by a jet ski when I was 30 years old and ended up in the emergency room, and the doctor walked in and said, "You've ruptured your liver. If less than 40% of it is ruptured, we'll life flight you out of here, we'll cut it out, it'll grow back. If it's more than 40%, you have 5 hours to live."
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So I laid there on the gurney for an hour waiting for results to find out, was I dying?
Wow.
And facing death, laying on a gurney, and people who've faced major surgeries know what I felt. It was different than facing death in a shootout with a bad guy. And I had to think about the fact that in a few hours, I could be facing Christ face to face. And He's going to say, "What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with your salvation? Who is saved? who wouldn't have been because you were on this earth? Who got fed? Who got clothed? And my answer would have been no one. No one. I've lived a nice, conservative Christian life, but I have nothing to show for my life here on this earth. Wow. And I thought, that's an empty answer. And the next time I'm facing death, I want to know. I'm going to walk into that throne with my head held high and say, give me the crowns I've earned because I've lived the life that you've given me. So I wrote the book all these years later because I thought there are many, as I took over Promise Keepers, which you've helped massively with, both back in when it was huge and now, men are living empty lives because they don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't know their identity in Christ. They don't understand that God has laid down a mission for their lives at the foundation of time for them to accomplish, and they will be rewarded based on how they did that. Men and women, all people, this is a book for men and women. But as I see men leaving the church, I started asking, why are they leaving the church? It's because they don't realize they have a mission to accomplish that God has given them to do, and either they will or they won't. And that's really what the book is about.
What do you think, Betty, about, you've heard Ken, because we've gotten to be good friends with he and his wife, Elliot, and that she's a sweetheart. You are indeed, and you are an awesome couple. Love your family. But you've heard him talk about men leading. You are a sweetheart, but I've told people you have no idea how strong this woman is. She makes a bear look weak, a lion not look strong. She is, she's really strong, and she's really sweet. But you want a leader, right?
Absolutely, and I think what you're saying, Ken, is so important for men to be men, to be leaders of a relationship, a home, your family. It's not to say you lord over them. James and I are on equal ground as far as our relationship. I mean, I take great satisfaction and comfort in knowing that I can lean on him, that he's going to lead me with God's direction in the right way, and our family will be strong because of that. And it doesn't say that he's to be more respected. There's equal respect for one another in our relationship. I'm a woman. He's a man. He's supposed to be physically stronger. He's supposed to be the leader of the home, but that means we share in the respect for one another, because as a woman, I can do things that he can't do. We're to complement one another, and I think we've lost that in our generations.
Don't you think women have lost respect for men almost justifiably?
Absolutely.
Because they've been cowardly, mm-hmm. or they've been lord over mm-hmm. boss, which is nonsense and repulsive. But sissies, I don't think women, I think a woman wants to be treated like a queen, but Absolutely. Not by pawns. No. She wants to be treated like a queen by a king. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Do you feel that way?
Absolutely.
That's what they're looking for?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you feel like men need to hear related to women and leadership in the family that you're just not seeing and it disturbs you?
You know, I think the message of the world is bad, and we know what that is. People don't even know if they're men or women anymore, right? But the church has inadvertently given a bad message of grace that is not quite right. Grace is that Jesus loves us no matter what, and he has created us for good works, it says in Ephesians 2:10, to accomplish. Both are true. The problem is people, but especially men, they're beginning to identify in their sin. They're saying, well, what I'm hearing is I'm a bad person and Jesus loves me anyway, so then I guess that's just life. And I'm a bad person is their identity. No. God created you to be a king. He created you to be a son of the living God. And he created you to love the queen, his daughters. So that affects our identity, affects how we treat other people and how we see ourselves. And that's what I'm trying to get people to see, is that God created you for a purpose. He gave you a mission to accomplish, it says in Ephesians 2, chapter 10. When we understand that, then we understand that one of the biggest things I can do is to elevate my wife, to train up my kids. And people all the time say, well, a daring faith, what does that mean? I mean, I don't have a TV show. I didn't fill up stadiums, right? Or I didn't write books or run Promise Keepers. Well, what can I do? Well, God has given each one of us gifts to accomplish a task he has for us. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest things you can do is raise godly children. It says in Malachi chapter 3 that God hates divorce. Why? Because he wants godly offspring. Jesus says, if you accomplish little things, he'll give you bigger things to do. As we concentrate on raising godly children and teaching a godly spouse, men or women, then we can get involved in the school board and say, what are you teaching the kids in my community? I'd like to know what that's all about.
Exactly.
And move on up. But boy, don't let Satan tell you you're not good enough. Don't let him tell you, oh, you did this in the past. Who do you think you are? I know who I am. I'm someone who was saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the faith that he gave me as a gift, as a free gift. And I am now going to do everything I can to please my Lord and Savior.
So you become a new creation in Christ. That is the miracle of salvation. You become a new person, but you're here for a new purpose. It's the King's purpose. You lose your life in his purpose. You find life in all of its fullness, in all of its fruitfulness, all of its positive effectiveness. We have literally given the future of our country to the people who teach against God, against the Father and the Creator who made us and who knows what's best. And he wants what's best. It's one thing to want what's best. It's another thing to want what's best and know what's best. And the God that made us, the Father, the King of Kings, knows what's best. And he left us here to be overcomers and more than conquerors. That means that we overcome the deception, the dissension that's being continually fed, and the division and destruction of the enemy. We overcome it. Ken, our schools, our government, our businesses are being taken over by the deceiver, the divider, and insanity is ruling this country. I mean, who'd ever think you'd be trying to define a man or a woman or redefine it? And you'd be teaching this stuff in our schools, but you can't mention God. You can be fired if you kneel by yourself on a football field and pray. Is that enough nonsense to make men stop being cowards and stand up? Do you think it's time for us to take back what we've given the enemy? Do you hear a little fire in my being right here? I am sick and tired of the enemy walking over and trampling God's garden and scattering God's flock and destroying God's sheep. I'm sick of it. Excuse me, I need to settle down. Do you think that it's time for us to take back God's garden and God's planet from the enemy?
Amen. And by the way, can I just say, people ask me what you're like because they know we're close, and I tell them exactly like you are on TV. Like, this is just having lunch with James Robinson. It's just, I mean, in the restaurant.
That's right.
And it's such a privilege that you wrote the foreword to the book. But I do want to say right now, because of what, you know, you get passionate, and I get
do.
Passionate,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 11 is God's chapter on the Hall of Faith, and mm-hmm. it's these people that God says, be like those people. Well, then you go and you look at those people and you go, well, these are the most screwed up people I've ever seen. I mean, we have Rahab the prostitute. We have Japheth that comes home and does terrible things after a victory.
We got Father Abraham having sex with his maid.
And what is the message there? God loves broken people who act with a daring faith. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
And right now, that's what we need desperately, because we need to stop for a minute and pull ourselves back and say, they're taking a 10-year-old girl and saying, gosh, you're a little uncomfortable with life. What 10-year-old girl is not uncomfortable with life as she's starting to go through puberty, right? Well, let's give you drugs that will alter your body forever.
Wow.
Maybe even surgery that will alter your body forever.
So
we have
sad.
Perverts trying to destroy their lives. Where are the men and women of God
yep.
standing up and saying, you're teaching what in our schools? I'm going to get involved. That's what we can do.
Ken, I am telling you what God is raising you up to do right now. And you have been asked to help see if God wants to in any way use the Promise Keepers. I was the closing speaker at the Stand in the Gap, over a million men in the mall in Washington. And I watched Coach McCartney, and he was here talking about his life and his wife and so forth. He had great love and trust for our viewers. But I watched that sort of disappear. But they ask you, do you think God might want to raise it up? And you and I both know, we don't know what God's going to do with Promise Keepers. Mm-hmm. But we know he wants men to be Promise Keepers.
Amen.
We know that he wants men to be what he left us here to be, which is why you wrote the book. And by the way, we're asking you if you would help us give some shoes and some smiles to children for Christmas. Would you do that? If you just help us do that, we'll gladly send you this book, and it will inspire men and as he said, women, to be what God left us here to be, to live for the Father's purpose. How about we fulfill his dream? How about we fulfill his vision? How about we become more than conquerors as ambassadors for Christ and overcomers? How about we grow the greatest fruit ever grown in the fields of this earth? How about we bring the flocks of God together and protect them from the wolf and the lion and the birds of prey that are destroying? How about we stop the predator? Doesn't that sound like what you want? Isn't that what you want to inspire right here? Does this make sense, that this is what God wants to do right now with men and women and families?
And can I just, for everyone out there, there are specific rewards that God says He will give. There are five specific crowns that are said that He'll give to people. One of them is the crown of all the people we've led to Christ. I can't wait to see how big your crown is. I mean, it's going to be awesome. But Jesus even says, I won't forget a cup of cold water that you've given to a child in my name. So the things that we do because we love Christ out of an innocent heart, He will never forget. So this little time, this little wisp of time we have here on this earth when we live by faith, it's going to affect our entire eternity. We were saved by grace, only by God's grace. But what are we doing with our faith after that? What are we doing to change the world? Because right now, there are people, men and women and children, who are counting on us. They're suicidal. They're depressed. They're overcome with grief and guilt. And we have the truth. We got to get out there and tell it to them. We got to be bold. And Jesus says, when He's given us the Sermon on the Mount about how to be holy, He said, blessed are you when people persecute you and say all kinds of evil things about you. Rejoice to your Father in heaven, because great is your reward.
You know, I'm thinking right now that, look at this. I'm the product of a forced sexual relationship, product of rape. But a doctor wouldn't kill me. Do you know the only way you stop abortion is you see the potential preciousness of every life, the possible promise fulfilled? That's what gave me life. But here's the beauty of it. We have three children. One's in heaven. We have 11 grandchildren, 10 married kin. We have, listen to me, 26 grandchildren. Another on the way, going up. Ken, all of our grandchildren, 10 of the 11 are married to somebody that loves God. They love one another. They're having beautiful children. They all have good jobs. They all have stable incomes. They're not living at home. They're not waiting for Uncle Sam to take care of them. They're not waiting for anybody to take care of them. Here is a fatherless child that met that father, introduced our family to that father. They fell in love with that father. We've got children that love the father. We've got grandchildren who love the father. And we got great-grandchildren. I'm not a privileged character. That's what God has for everybody. Yeah. That's what you're seeing in your family. And you were a rough, tough police officer. Now then, something has happened to change your life. You're saying that can happen to men. We don't live cowardly and defeated and walked over by the enemy. We can walk over the enemy's intentions. We can be overcomers in this life. Ken, thank you so much for losing your life for the King's purpose. You and I are going to be together for as long as we live on this earth. And we're going to be together forever. But we're going to see the family of God fulfill the Father's vision. Father, I pray for everybody watching right now to realize we have been left here to fulfill your purpose. And the only way we find life and meaning in life and fullness in life is to lose our life for your kingdom purpose. Let everybody watching say, today, I want to lose my life for your purpose, Father, in Jesus' name. Ken, thank you for writing the book. For all of you right now, this is our emphasis on Christmas, shoes, and smiles. Everything we do here works. What life does works. We put oil in the lanterns that are burning and keep them burning. This is one of the brightest lanterns we support. Would you give shoes and smiles to children? I think you're going to want to. You watch closely.
In this season of giving, God's word has very special meaning when He tells us not to be only hearers of the word, but also doers of the word.
It's a great day when you can give until the least of these. I've hung out in this village all afternoon, and I could not wait for this moment, to be honest with you. But I've had a chance to play with the children. We've hung out, and I've played at their playground with them. You would not imagine what playground they play on. Many of them have never had a pair of shoes until this moment, and I promise you now, they will not be playing in dangerous places again without shoes to protect their feet. You shouldn't have to walk around without shoes on your feet. You shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to play and not ever have to worry about cutting your feet. I'm so thankful to Life Outreach. In this moment, this is what it all comes down to. Something so special and so simple, changing his little life forever. Thank you so much for making it possible for these children and hundreds of thousands of children across the world. Thank you so much.
I just love, Tammy, you've gone all over the world with us, and seeing you those shoes, I'm holding this little shoe right here that we send for any gift that you will give to help us give those shoes. You think you can give 10 pair for $36, and you know, you can just give 50 pair of shoes for $180. I wish you'd do that. We are sending, if you give over $100, and I'd love you to give that $180, we're sending the little box of shoes with this shoe. And you know, Betty, we've loaded our Christmas tree. Betty's even got a little tree.
Tree of its own. It's
just,
for my
just,
shoes.
Just for the little shoes. And I really want you to get these. Let me just say this to you as personally as I can. You have helped us bless so many people's lives. Do you know what we're doing along with the shoes? And boy, do our viewers love this. We're giving little children a smile who never had one. Did you know that we've actually seen children, when they see their face in a reflection, like sometimes in the side of a vehicle, that where they can see the reflection in the window, and looking in because it's dark on the inside, and they get a reflection, and they pull back because they see their little face. Some of them have never seen clear mirrors. And sometimes we've played back video footage on a monitor, and we saw one little boy see his face, and he just pulled back. He couldn't stand the way he looked. That makes me so sad. We've got doctors who will go to the mission field, and for an average of $500, we can give them a smile. And that's a very expensive surgery, but you could pay for it. You know, think about it, $1,000, two children, smiles. And many of you are able to do that. Betty, our viewers who are blessed by God, many of them are older people like us who may have some reserves that they can go into. That's how we get some of the shoes. We just don't stop giving. And we give water wells every time we say, now well. It's because we said, God, let us do it. And if you're able to do it, you'll do it. Could you give smiles? Would you give shoes? Could you give the 180? Could you give the 36? Please. We're going to send you these gifts and the gifts that we offer to bless you. But you really are giving the greatest gift. You're sharing the love of God. Thank you so much. Go online right now or dial that number. Take your bank card and use it like a check. Please do that. If you write a check, make it to Life. But call us. Let us know today what you're sending. We need to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Many people don't realize the impact that a cleft lip and cleft palate can have on a young child and the family. With the cleft palate, they will not be able to breastfeed, and that can cause real problems for nutrition, and it can also cause them to have more commonly have chest infections, and that can even lead to death. But if the child survives as they grow, they will then start to realize that they have this cleft palate and they will really suffer psychologically. Combining the appearance and also the speech will have a huge impact on how that child feels about themselves as they grow up. But thanks to James and Betty and the Friends of Life Outreach International, we're able to make lasting changes in children's lives through corrective surgery. Several children that we've operated on their lips and their palates, very young, and the children are healthy, they look normal, and I know that they will now be able to speak normally as well. There's so much more work to be done, literally thousands of families waiting for help, but we can only do it with your continuing support. God bless you.
I want to thank you, Ken. Thank you. I believe God's going to use us to see His kingdom purpose fulfilled on His earth. And this is going to have a lot to do with it. Ken's going to have a lot to do with it because he's going to lead. And he's going to inspire men to lead. Ladies, this would be good. Matt, just get this for your husband and say, hey, you've seen some of his cowardly stuff. I'm not saying you are, honey. You know, you're going to be an inspiration. But you help us with shoes and smiles, and we'll be glad to send this to you along with the other gifts. Ken, we're going to be walking together till Jesus comes. And just thank you for being here. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you all for watching. Thank you for sharing shoes and smiles.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today.
I don't know what to say, that God would blindside me when I didn't expect it.
Susie Larson, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.